God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
If you were with us yesterday, you heard U.S. Senator James Inhofe discuss information from his book, The Greatest Hoax. The Oklahoma senator is one of the earliest opponents of climate change hysteria. Southwest Radio board member Dr. Edward Blick has also been fighting that battle. So today, he and Brother Hutchings will talk more about the senator's book and his own research into global warming. Dr. Blick has a doctorate in engineering science. He served as a weatherman for the Air Force and was a professor at Oklahoma University before retiring. Here now is Brother Hutchings.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. In the past 3 years, we have presented, I think, maybe 12 or 15 programs with Dr. Ed Blick. When the global warming alarm went out by the present administration, we had Dr. Blick on all these programs to discuss, is there really going to be global warming? Are we really in danger? Because we read in the last verse of Genesis 8 that God said that after the flood, as long as the earth remained, there would be fall, winter, spring, and summer. We've had Dr. Blick on several times to analyze the weather situation in respect to global warming. He wrote two booklets on the subject. We sent copies of these booklets to every senator and every congressman. There has been some change, I think, in the attitude of Congress over this matter. And one of our senators, Senator Inhofe, wrote a book that we're offering this month called The Greatest Hoax. Dr. Blick, appreciate your making time for us again. And I see you have a copy of Senator Inhofe's book there. I've looked it over. I think he pretty well covered the subject from A to Z, didn't he?
Yes, it does. And the thing that Senator Inhofe covers is most important for stopping this hoax. In other words, he's a U.S. senator. In fact, I call him sometimes I'll say he's the top global warming buster in the nation, especially Washington, D.C. He's more knowledgeable, in my opinion, than any other member of Congress on this global warming hoax or religion, whichever you want to call it. I've always liked Senator Inhofe. I've always voted for him. He's a good conservative. And then, if you'll recall, Dr. Hutchins, several years ago, I went with you to a Chamber of Commerce meeting in Oklahoma City, and Senator Inhofe was a speaker, and I had the opportunity to talk with Senator Inhofe then. I believe we gave him one of the books I'd written for Southwest Radio Church on it. And so we became pretty good friends since then. I've talked with him several times. He's called me on the phone. I really, really like Senator Inhofe. But I appreciate him and like him even more after reading his book, The Greatest Hoax. This is really a good book. He's been standing up and fighting all these left-wing crazy people in Washington, D.C. who are trying to push this thing upon us. This global warming hoax and what they've been trying to do in Congress and with our President Obama is a good example of Politics 101. Politics 101 is you frighten the public with some bogus scare story, and then you say, we're going to fix it by increasing your taxes, and then when they do that, they control them. The top climatologist probably in the world is a professor at MIT, Richard Lindzen. He said, if you control carbon dioxide, you control life. Carbon is a bureaucrat's dream. And that's what they've been trying. They've been trying to hang us and control us with these scare stories about carbon dioxide, and we need to cut down on the use of fossil fuels. I mean, Obama and the left wing in Congress have their sights on coal and oil. They want to do away with it and try to run America on windmills and solar panels, which is an absolute joke. You cannot run America on windmills and solar panels. The oil and coal have so much energy in them. It boggles the mind. I'll give you an example. You can take 1 ounce of coal. That 1 ounce of coal will pull a load on rail, any kind of load, let's say 1 ton, 2 miles. That's how much energy is in 1 ounce of coal. If you use 1 ounce of oil, it'll pull a ton, 4 miles. We went from Little House on the Prairie living, back 1870, somewhere along in there, horses, buggies, sawing outhouses, to planes, trains, automobiles, flush toilets, all this kind, all the electricity, all the things, in just 70 years. Let's say from 1870 to 1930. Well, that's 60 years. And in 60 years, you and I are both older in 60 years, and what an amazing change in civilization in America and around the world. And this government is trying to get rid of it. I mean, it just boggles the mind. Anyone can be so stupid, although I don't think they're stupid. They want to control us. And they control us by getting rid of fossil fuels and controlling every aspect of our life. They'll send millions of jobs overseas because they're already doing it. And they want to bring America down to the level of a third world nation. And that's their goal. And Inhofe, Senator Inhofe, has fought him over and over again. They will bring some bill up. And most of the times, Senator Inhofe, who is a Republican, the Republicans have been in the minority, and he has been able to stand up against John Kerry, Senator McCain, Lindsey Graham, Barbara Boxner, Lieberman, and Warner, and all their bills. And he's been able to marshal enough votes from Democrats and Republicans to defeat these bills. And they hate him. The left wing actually despises Senator Inhofe. He went to Milan. Oh, I think it was 2003. There was a big global warming conference sponsored by UN, you know, the UN, the useless nations. And when he got off the plane and he went to the meeting, he saw his picture. There were wanted posters all around Milan. Wanted the most dangerous man in the world, James Inhofe. And he was flabbergasted, but he kind of took it as a badge of honor because they really do not like Senator Inhofe because he's been defeating them over and over again.
The global warming issue, which Senator Inhofe now exposes as a complete hoax, it was built on the premise that fossil fuels put more CO2 in the air and CO2 is going to kill us. That's a complete fallacy, isn't it?
It absolutely is, because when God created the world 6,000 years ago, he put oxygen and carbon dioxide in our atmosphere. Both are gases of life. Humans and animals cannot live without oxygen. Plants, which we, the humans and animals, eat, plants need carbon dioxide. Of course, they also need rain and sunlight as well. But plants will not live without carbon dioxide. It's not a pollutant. And presently, the amount of carbon dioxide in the air is probably 390, almost 400 parts per million, which is a very small amount. Yet, the Obama administration and the government has declared it a pollutant. It is not a pollutant. It's a gas of life. Obama has even started pumping carbon dioxide under the ground, trying to bury it in Greenville, Ohio. And so it's not a pollutant. It's a gas of life. We need it. The more carbon dioxide is in the air, the greater the plants grow. I've got charts showing that for every 1% increase in carbon dioxide in the air, you get about an 8% increase in crop growth around the world. Our sailors travel around the world in submarines, and the concentration in air is maybe 8,000 parts per million, whereas out in the atmosphere here outside, it's, you know, about 400. A crowded movie theater might have 10,000 parts per million. But you can go up to 80,000 or so parts per million before it becomes just a little too much. It's not a pollutant. We need it to grow crops. It's absolutely wrong. At first, I thought that these people were ignorant. But after all the thousands and thousands of scientists who have written the government, written Obama, saying that it is not a pollutant, it's not going to, the heat from carbon dioxide in the air is minimal. I mean, just you're talking like 100, 2, 3, 6 hundredths of a degree. It's not going to cause any problems. And then after all this education that supposedly Congress and Obama received from a lot of scientists, they still push it. So I've just come to the conclusion, it's not because they're dumb, it's because they want to control us, like the Soviet government controlled the people in Soviet Union. They want to control us so they can have the power.
Doesn't most of the CO2 or carbon dioxide in the air, Dr. Blake, doesn't most of it come from the oceans and
yes,
seas?
Sir, it does. The oceans contain a lot. I've got the number somewhere, and I can't pull them off the top of my head, but I mean, we're talking billions of tons of carbon dioxide in the ocean waters. Now, there is carbon dioxide in the atmosphere above it, but there's a law in chemistry called Henry's Law, and it says a liquid like water will hold 98% compared to just 2% in the air atmosphere above it. So the oceans have almost 50 times more carbon dioxide in it than what is in the atmosphere. And the colder the water, the more it absorbs. And what's happened is past 100 or so years, well, let's say the 1850, or let's say up to 2000, the sun was more active because of more sunspot activity, this type of thing. And the sun is never steady. In other words, from year to year, it puts out a different amount of energy. But when the sun was active during that period of time, the ocean waters warmed up. And as the ocean waters warmed up, they gave up more carbon dioxide to the atmosphere. Same thing happens to a soft drink, which has got carbonated, got CO2 in it. And so if you pour yourself a soft drink, after it's been in the refrigerator, you set it on the table, you watch the bubbles come out. Those bubbles are CO2. And that's what happens to the ocean water. And so that's why we have more CO2 in the 20th century than we did in the 19th century, because the sun was more active, oceans got warmer, they gave up the CO2, and that's why but we didn't have any catastrophes due to runaway temperatures, polar bears drowning, sea level rising. That's all bunk. It's just part of their scare story, Politics 101.
Yes, I've read somewhere that more than 90% of the CO2 comes from the ocean.
That's right, yeah.
So it doesn't come out of automobiles. Only a small percentage of CO2 in the air comes from automobiles or from factories. Of course, they put out the concerns that we've got to quit driving less, quit using gasoline, shut down the coal mines. Now, what was the particular reason for all this? I've heard that the political machines wanted to get control of coal and gasoline supplies or production, because that way they can control industry and take charge of international commerce and everything related to it.
You're exactly right. They want to take control, and of course they'll be the rulers, and the rulers that have all the money and the power. The Obama in 2008, he was in San Francisco on a campaign money raising trip, and someone in there had a tape recorder. He didn't know it, and he said in essence that he's going to put the coal companies out of business. He says, if you buy a coal company, he said, go ahead. He said, but it'll go bankrupt, because he's going to increase or decrease the amount of electricity we get from coal. The price will skyrocket. And he's been very active since he's been president in refusing permits to open new coal mines. And now the Environmental Protection Agency is going out. They've been here in Oklahoma this past year telling Oklahoma Gas and Electric and the other utility outfit, Tulsa area and so on, that they've got to put all kinds of restrictions on their coal fire electric generating plants, which are going to cost billions of dollars. And the Attorney General from Oklahoma this past year threaten the Obama administration with a lawsuit if they came in here and tried to strong-arm and put all these billions of dollars worth of a load on the taxpayers to put in equipment which really isn't needed. But he wants to get rid of coal. He wants to get rid of oil. We don't drill as much as we used to. Now, what is so ironic about this, or so infuriating, is that in the past several years, the Congressional Research Service, who is an independent, I mean, they're not Republicans, they're not Democratic, they're neutral, they did a detailed study, and they found that America's combined recoverable natural gas, oil, and coal are the largest on Earth. I mean, there's no reason we need to go to the hand and, you know, go over to Saudi Arabia and beg them to sell us oil and send them billions of dollars every year, because we got more than Saudi Arabia does. Any country, we got more than any other country in the world. We're loaded with all kinds of, as I say, energy in the form of gas, oil, coal, and so on, which will last many, many, many years. And yet, Obama restricts opening new coal mines. He restricts on drilling. He's got to know, and the people who advise him have got to know about this, because the Congressional Research Office has the last couple of years come out twice and told him. But he's going on ahead with trying to ration fossil fuels and cripple America, send jobs overseas, and just ruin this country.
One of the issues, they say that global warming has reduced the deer, reindeer population, the polar bear population. But I saw a report recently in the Arctic Circle, there's something like 20,000 people, but 25,000 polar bears.
Yeah, that's right. Again, it's another big lie. That particular part of the lie, I think, started with the United Nations and Al Gore. They want to talk about polar bears drowning or not many of them left. Polar bear population has been increasing for 40 or 50 years, and there's no problem there. There's no problem with the coastal cities around the world being flooded. They told us, I think Al Gore said one time, the sea level is going to rise 20 feet. Well, actually, the last several years it's been dropping. And so it's lies, lies, lies. And as I say, Senator Inhofe knew of the lies, and he was able to marshal enough forces. I don't know how many bills. It must have been at least 6 or 7 or 8 bills that the left-wing groups have tried to push through Congress to put a cap on uses of oil, coal, and gas. And he's been able to knock them all down. I tell you, Senator Inhofe is, he is one tough guy. And he kind of reminds me of John Wayne. You know, John Wayne, all his movies, he's always stands up for truth and fights for it. There's one movie called True Grit. Well, I think Senator Inhofe has got true grit. He's got a lot of John Wayne qualities. And I'm really proud that he is our senator from Oklahoma. And this book of his is just wonderful. It destroys all of this stuff that you hear coming out of the White House and the left-wing Congress. And he destroys it in this book. It's one of the best books I've ever read. I really enjoy it.
Yes, we read in Scripture that in the last days there would be many false prophets and false Christs arise, and people would reject the truth, and God would send them an illusion that they would believe a lie. It's amazing that so many people have believed this and jumped on the bandwagon and not even bothered to investigate. It's simply amazing to me. When it defies all facts, or all known facts, yet the temperature of Earth, has it really increased any in the last 100 years?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. I have just some notes I've made here. Well, globally, it seems like that there's been about 0.6 degrees centigrade in the past 100 or so years, which, you know, the human body, we really can't determine a half a degree or a 0.6 degrees increase or decrease in temperature is so small. And I mean, it is so tiny. It's ridiculous to talk about spending trillions of dollars to offset this. And of course, they can't do it really because most of the carbon dioxide comes from the ocean anyway. But I've got a list here of cities in the United States that have had no temperature increase in the last 70 to 120 years. Let me read a few of them. Cherokee, Oklahoma, Boulder, Colorado, Truman, Missouri, Lampasas, Texas, Ann Arbor, Michigan, Albany, New York, West Point, New York. No increase in temperature in the last 70 to 120 years. Now, West Point, New York is only 45 miles from New York City, but New York City has had like a 4-degree increase in the last 100 years. Well, what's the difference? Well, it's because all the people living in New York City burning furnace, you know, coal, whatever, oil in their furnaces, and they got all this hot concrete and asphalt on the roofs and so on. It's called an urban heat island effect. When you have a big city, a growing big city, it is hotter. It's cooler when you go 10 miles outside of town. In this case, well, West Point, New York is 45 miles from New York. No increase in temperature. New York had a 4-degree increase. So there, man does affect the temperature in big cities because of just the process of living, driving cars, burning, you know, coal, whatever, air conditioning. But that's just in the big city. But in the small cities, no increase. Death Valley, the temperature's been essentially flat for 70 years. So globally, when you look at the temperatures, if you stay away from the big cities, no increase in temperature. And in fact, the past 10 years, we have had a decrease in temperature. We've had about every 30 or 40 years, there'll be a temperature increase or a temperature decrease. And what happens is the newspapers go crazy and the magazines go crazy. They'll say, well, we're going to have a global cooling is coming. This is like 1890 to about 1930. The world's going to freeze. We're going to starve to death. And then the 1930s started to warm up until about 1970 or so. And now they were, it's getting warmer. We got all kinds of problems. 1970 got cool. They said, oh, it's colder and colder. We're going to freeze to death. And then 1980s, it's getting warmer and warmer. We need to do something. The thing is, I think Mark Twain says, if you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. But if you're reading the newspapers, you're misinformed because the newspapers jump all over this stuff. Then they scream catastrophe, catastrophe, and it's all bunk.
We certainly need to pray for our nation, and we would encourage you to get a copy of Senator Imhoff's book, The Greatest Hoax. Here is Brother Jerry to tell you how you can get a copy of the book by Senator Imhoff, The Greatest Hoax.
The quickest way to get the book on its way to you is by calling or going to the website. Phone number to call, 1-800-652-1144. The web address on the internet is swrc.com. But you may want to use the mail. If so, address your request to Southwest Radio Ministries, P.O. Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The Greatest Hoax is offered in appreciation of a $30 contribution if you live in the United States, $35 for Canadian listeners. Get the 310-page hardback today. As a bonus, we'll include Dr. Blick's two booklets, the 24-page Global Warming Myth and Marxism, and the 27-page Obama's War on CO2. The two programs, one was Senator Inhofe, the other with Dr. Blick, are on CD, and you can get them for an offering of $14 in the U.S., $15 in Canada. Again, the number to call is 1-800-652-1144. And don't forget to ask for complete details about the Fort Smith, Arkansas Conference on June 23rd. Next over most of these stations is a Bible in the News report. Join Dr. Larry Spargimino and Dr. Henry Morris III tomorrow for your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries' Bible in the News report, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program. Here with today's report is Carol Rushton.
The Independent, a British newspaper, ran a startling article on April 29, 2012 on its website. Spy in the sky, is it only a matter of time before drone technology is used in civil society? Peter Popham writes in this chilling paragraph, Drones in service or development today range from a giant with a 400-foot wingspan intended to cruise nonstop for 5 years to tiny micro-drones powered by miniature batteries. Some are the size of a Boeing 727, while the Predators and Reapers in use in Afghanistan are comparable in size to model aircraft. But whatever their shape or size, all of them are designed for one of two purposes, spying or killing. Drones are already becoming common throughout the United States. The Daily Mail reported on April 24, 2012, that there are at least 63 active drone sites around the U.S. Federal authorities have been forced to reveal following a landmark Freedom of Information lawsuit. The unmanned planes, some of which may have been designed to kill terror suspects, are being launched from locations in 20 states. However, the FAA is yet to reveal what kinds of drones might be based at any of these locations. The Daily Mail provides a list of registered drone owners in the U.S., some of which are very worrisome. Department of Homeland Security, Energy Department, Department of Agriculture, and Department of the Interior. Why do these government agencies need drones? Catherine Herridge, a Fox News intelligence journalist, reported in Privacy Concerns as U.S. Government Rolls Out Domestic Drone Rules on May 14, 2012. The Federal Aviation Administration on Monday began to explain the rules of the sky for these newly licensed drones at potentially dozens of sites across the country. Unlike some of the drones used overseas, these will not be equipped with missiles. But that alone has raised serious privacy concerns on Capitol Hill and beyond. Herridge quotes Texas Representative Joe Barton. Our founding fathers had no idea that there would be remote-controlled drones with television monitors. But if they had, they would have made sure that these things were subject to the Fourth Amendment. Although the article points out the advantages drones give local police forces, BusinessInsider.com reported on May 13, 2012, that an Air Force intelligence brief supports using drones to spy on American private citizens. The document states collected imagery may incidentally include U.S. persons or private property without consent. The possible use of drones by our government to spy on American citizens without their knowledge or consent could be a preview of how the Antichrist will use modern technology to enforce his one-world government dictatorship throughout the world. We are very close to the frightening fulfillment of Revelation 13:7 through 8. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him.
That's today's Bible in the News report. It's a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. Reports are published each month in a booklet. You can get a complimentary copy of it by calling, writing, or visiting our website. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. The website address is swrc.com. Join us for the next Your Watchman on the Wall program when once again we include a Bible in the News report.